Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. The NCAA tournament got underway last night. Wichita State did the expected and beat Vanderbilt. Any team that has Fred VanVleet and Baker, they're going to win games. Because guess what? That's what they're used to doing, and they're used to doing it at this time of the year. The moment does not faze them. And Florida Gulf Coast did the expected and blew out Fairleigh Dickinson. Tonight, it is Holy Cross against Southern. Holy Cross did not win a single road game in the Patriot League regular season, and then won nothing but road games in the postseason and just kept on driving the bus to Dayton. They left Lehigh and just kept on going. And they will play Southern tonight. Southern is the favorite. I wouldn't doubt that Southern wins by double digits tonight. And then the other game is Michigan against Tulsa. And again, if Michigan can hit between 8 and 12 threes, in my estimation, that would be enough to get them into the next round. Wichita State's going to be a dangerous 11 facing Arizona. It's one thing you found out about the first four. You've had teams come out of the first four in Dayton with some mo. And feel good about themselves. And that would include VCU, which went to the Final Four. That would include LaSalle, winner of her first four game, going to the Sweet 16 out in Los Angeles. You've had teams come out of there and play pretty well. So more coming up tonight with the first four. We're going to talk wrestling today with Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of the Nittany Lions. He'll join us from Madison Square Garden to talk about the Nittany Lions and the NCAA Wrestling Championships. And with that, we bring back in a blast from the past. Kevin Herr.
It's nice to be with you for this short little stint while Sean takes a little R&R.
And with that, we now bring in the, as always, unsponsored 30 Good Seconds of IndyCar Racing.
Rather boring race from St. Pete. In new improvements in the aero kits have made things a little bit more competitive. Marco was dumb. That's it. Marco was dumb during the race.
Well, okay then. Good. Much shorter than I had planned for, and far more enjoyable because it was shorter. All right.
I didn't know what the ratings were like for that, by the way. I didn't see the numbers.
Well, you and the other guy watched. All right, so great to have everybody on board today. We can talk a little bit about the tournament, a little bit about wrestling. Phone lines open at 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. Goose Gossage getting into a little bit of hot water with some of the comments that he's made about Major League Baseball. He just doesn't like where it's going right now. He doesn't like the use of instant replay. He doesn't like the use of sabermetrics. And he doesn't like, in particular, showmanship on the field. Bat flips by Bautista. Bryce Harper. He's not enamored with any of it. He says, I don't want a bunch of, quote, Cam Newtons out there. Uh-oh. Don't think I would have gone that route. He's been called on it. What he doesn't like about instant replay in baseball is what I don't like about instant replay in baseball. Right? Now, I part ways with him because I think instant replay is still important. I think you need to have it for the integrity of the game. But it takes too long, way too long. You're sitting there and sitting there and sitting there. It takes forever. Don't send it to New York. It's an $8 to $9 billion industry. Since it's an $8 to $9 billion with a B industry, you can afford to hire 15 more umpires that sit in the booth. And hire 15 technicians. And then, in a one-time-only expense except for maintenance, put equipment into all 30 ballparks. And when it comes time, you go to that person, and that person takes a look at it, calls down, says he's out, safe, or in between, whatever. Instead of going to New York, where maybe they're not looking at your deal, they're looking at something else, and then they all have to go over and take a look at it, and it takes too much time. In the NHL, they go to one spot, Toronto, but they only do it on goals. They're not looking for tripping and cross-checking, or was it offside, or was it icing, or anything. They're not look. They only look at goals in Toronto. It's a much easier, cleaner aspect of the game. Baseball takes too long. Gossage doesn't like it. He wants the human element in there. Doesn't like bat flips. I think Bautista's bat flip in the playoff last year, which got them to the ALCS, I think it was just pure emotion playing out. I just won the game. I just won the series. I can't believe it. And then Harper is one of those expressive, all-out kind of guys. And then there's sabermetrics. And in part, I agree with them a little bit on sabermetrics. I think there has to be a happy medium between sabermetrics and everything else. One element cannot be the be-all, end-all. You have to have good scouting. You have to have a feel. Sabermetrics takes out feel. You have to have a good feel for anything you do. I don't care what it is. You have to have a good feel as to how you approach selling insurance. You have to have a good feel as to how you announce a game. You have to have a good feel as to how you coach a game. Good feel as to how you play. You have to have that part, that gut instinct. If you go too heavy on sabermetrics and take gut instinct out of it and take your own trust level out of it, and just concentrate on sabermetrics, then you've got nothing, as far as I'm concerned. You have to have the combination of how to use the stats to make it work. You know, okay, here's a stat. All right, now let's look at some tape. Does it match up, or are there circumstances as to why the stat is like that? Okay, it matches up. Got some validity to it. All right, it'll influence how we're going to do something. So he was called in, he talked to Brian Cashman, he talked to Joe Girardi, and then after he was done talking with them, to his credit, he doubled down. All right, Bucknell Football's announced its 2016 schedule. The home opener is with Cornell on the 17th of September. They're going to open at Marist and Poughkeepsie, then they go down to Pittsburgh to play Duquesne. Then they'll have Cornell and VMI back-to-back on the 17th and 24th of September. Then on October 8th, up to Worcester to play Holy Cross. Then back-to-back home games with Colgate and Lafayette on the 15th and 22nd. There is a bye week, by the way, which is October 1st. October 1st is the bye week. The 29th down to Charleston Southern. Kevin can't wait for that. He's already packed.
I've been packed for weeks.
Well, in a lot of ways. In the 5th, they're at Lehigh, and then they're at Georgetown. They have to go on the road for three straight games. And then on the 19th, they got Fordham at home.
Well, the Lehigh game, though, isn't really much of a road game. I mean, that's a little bit of a road trip, but there's always a nice crowd there for that game at Lehigh, or Lafayette, for that matter. Good Bucknell faithful come down for that. It's only a couple hours at best.
Bucknell spring practice, by the way, will open on March 29th. The spring game this year is April 29th at 6 o'clock at Mathewson. I like it.
I did think there was one thing in this schedule that did stand out to me, is the Colgate game got moved from the end of the season to the middle of the season. That had typically been a season ender the last several years. And, of course, Fordham would be the game before that. I thought it was interesting how that changed up this particular time. But maybe that happens a lot in the Patriot League. I didn't remember it happening for Colgate for Colgate Bucknell in quite some time.
Well, okay. 800-795-9565 is our number. A lot to talk about today, including Jeff Byers from New York on the NCAA Wrestling Championships. They're playing the big time. I mean, if Billy Baldwin's doing your commercials leading up to it, you must be in the big time. How about that? Alec Baldwin wasn't available. We'll come back with more in a moment. News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Jeff Byers on the show today will join us from New York. Get everybody up to date on what's happening with the NCAA Wrestling Championships, which do get underway tomorrow, by the way. Tomorrow's also Pro Day here tomorrow. And there is going to be a media contingent descending upon here tomorrow. Rather large. NFL Network, ESPN, they're all coming in tomorrow. And the last guy up to work out tomorrow will be Christian Hackenberg. He'll be joined tomorrow along the way by Austin Johnson, Anthony Zettel, Carl Nassib, Angelo Mangiero, Jordan Lucas, Ryan Kaiser is going to work out and do his combine tomorrow. Kyle Carter. There's a couple of the guys, too, that'll be involved in this tomorrow. The reason Christian's up last tomorrow is because after you're done running the 40s, doing the broad jump, the vertical, the shuttles, the cones, things like that, they have to clear the field, and he's going to have to throw. And so that's why he's up last tomorrow. And we will give you a full and complete report. In fact, I may have an opportunity to sit down, and might tomorrow have an opportunity to sit down and do some one-on-ones tomorrow with some of the players. And if they don't air tomorrow, I might air them early next week. But just to give you a feel where everybody is. But that is coming up tomorrow. And then spring practice begins Friday for Penn State. No pads the first 2 days. There are three practices in the spring that you can't have pads. And naturally, the first two are without pads. So they'll go through with this coaches clinic that's coming up here. You know, I don't know if they still call, I don't think they call it the coaches clinic anymore. But that's essentially what it is. Chalk talk, I think, is what they call it now. And they'll have that Friday and Saturday. They'll also practice Friday and Saturday, and they will not practice with pads. My guess would be that the third practice without pads is probably going to be the April 15th practice, which is the day before the Blue-White game. They are scheduled to practice the day before the game. My guess is that's going to be like a walkthrough, like they normally would do on a game Friday. So that would be the third practice without pads. And that's where I think they're going to go with this. What's disappointing is that you're back. No Kevin Herr memo. Nothing here to make nothing to make fun of. Like I've got a great topic that is your topic, your kind of topic.
You got the IndyCar thing in there earlier though.
Yeah, well that was just a case where that was the concession. Okay,
yeah, that's
well,
an automatic mine, for me. Yeah,
if you're going to have mine, you have to do it. So I decided to get it out of the way early. That way the audience can relax.
So what's the really good right topic?
Oh, that's right up your alley?
Yeah.
The NCAA basketball tournament. Did you watch any of the game last night? Any, either game, even for 2 minutes?
Honestly, no.
Of course not. The rest of the world was watching, and you were watching, what, The People versus OJ again?
Actually, I have that on DVR. I haven't watched it yet. No, I was watching CNN. I was enamored.
Just so you know, the glove doesn't fit. All right.
I think I remember that part of it.
That was last night's episode. The glove doesn't
fit. Oh, thanks. Now you ruined it.
No, I don't think we have.
That's like telling me at the end of Titanic, by the way, the boat sinks. Come on.
No, she let go. So contrary to what she says, I'll never let go. Oh, no, you did. I watched. You let go. You just floated right to the bottom. So all the courts this year are different. See, this is right up your alley.
Okay, what do you mean they're different?
Well, for example, each one has their own color design for the region you're in.
Yeah, they're not using that blue, the typical NCAA blue logo color.
Right. I mean, center court's different. The end zones, each one does say the road to the Final Four, but then you'll look in the left-hand corner, it'll say first four. And guess what? When you see the courts coming up this weekend, on Thursday and Friday, the courts will all say first round. When you get to Saturday and Sunday, the courts will all then change out and say second round. Then next week, the courts will say Sweet 16 on Thursday, Friday, and they'll say Elite 8 on Saturday and Sunday.
What do they put that down with?
All you do is just buy boards. It's just interchangeable parts.
Okay, so it's not like a sticker or something like that. It's like board. I honestly have no idea how it's done.
I mean, you can put it down with stickers. I mean, you do, but, you know, if you want to just have it painted in there, you just put new boards in. It's in the end zone. It's not even on the court. So
interesting.
So they'll do that. I thought that would be really cool for you to know.
See, that's fascinating to me.
See? Isn't that cool? And then, for example, in Philadelphia, they'll put maroon and blue in the corner of one court. In Spokane, the colors are lighter. Each one is going to have a different color code in the corner that is specific to that area. Don't you think that's neat?
See, these are the stories that you don't hear a whole lot. I like these stories.
Isn't that cool? Isn't that, like, fun? See, the problem is you're not fun.
It's me. It is me, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Is this Dave or Dale?
Dale.
Dale in Sunbury. Hi, Dale. How are you today, my friend?
Good. I need a little bit of advice on my bracket here for Final Four. I already filled out one. I got West Virginia winning it all, but I don't even know.
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. Yeah. Hey, they play that full court defense, Dale. They're all over you. They're a very hard team to prepare for.
Yeah, well, I'd like to hear from you and Kevin on my next bracket here before I got to turn it in before it's too late here.
All right, what do you got, my man?
I don't know. I'm blind as a bat here. I just listened to these guys the last couple of weeks, and I'm trying to get a winner here.
Well, I'm a little more chalk than what you've got. I've got West Virginia making a deep run. I do. I have them to the Elite Eight, Dale.
Okay.
But my Final Four is Kansas, Oklahoma, Michigan State, and who the heck do I have Michigan State? North Carolina. I've got Michigan State beating Kansas in the final.
So you don't think Duke is going to?
I've got Duke in the Elite Eight.
Duke in the Elite Eight. Okay. All right. Well, Kevin, what's his winner here?
Well, I have Michigan State going the distance, but I also have Maryland in the Final Four. I have Georgetown, and I also threw in Indiana because I think I just like the way Indiana has the bracket set up.
All right, it might come out that way. All right. Well, I was just Indiana, and who else? Georgetown?
Indiana, Georgetown, and Michigan State I have going the distance, though. There's a lot of Big Ten in my bracket.
I know you guys follow better than I do. So you guys did give me West Virginia not too long ago, but
hey, West Virginia again—they play a style that is very hard to play against and prepare for. West Virginia will have a big hurdle, though, Dale, in the opening round, because Stephen F. Austin plays a similar game. Yep, they play a similar game to West Virginia. and they turn you over 18 and a half times a game. West Virginia needs to stay away from turnovers itself. And then I think they're just a little bigger, and they're a little quicker than Stephen F. Austin. Thus, I think they'll survive the round one by 5 to 7 points.
A couple of people, a lot of people I'm dealing with, they got Kansas running the whole table. So,
great team. Ellis, Selden, really, really good. But you know what? Michigan State's already played Kansas this year on a neutral court in Chicago, and Michigan State beat them. I know that was back in November, but I think Michigan State's playing better basketball now than they were then.
All right, I appreciate that.
Keep in mind, I haven't picked four Final Four teams in 20 years. So I'm just saying, you're on your own if you're picking what I picked.
And just so you know, Dale, most of the teams Kevin picked are actually in the tournament.
Yes, they actually in the tournament.
Well, that's why I got you guys give me advice, because I like Bucknell and I didn't realize they weren't in it.
Yeah, well, Bucknell plays Monmouth tonight in the NIT opening round.
Yeah. I appreciate that, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Dale. Bottom of the hour. Time now for a news update. Jeff Byers coming on at 4:06 today to talk NCAA wrestling. And don't forget, when you take a look at Kevin's bracket, just make sure the teams are actually in the tournament.
Honestly, I didn't fill a bracket out this year.
Advice from this station and the Ad Council.
It's a safety thing.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Georgetown.
I did not fill out a bracket. And from the old adage, don't believe everything you read on the internet, I did a quick search to see the bracket. I mean, I had in mind a few teams, but the fourth one was the one I wasn't sure about. And I happened to find a bracket that, as I was saying the teams, I realized was a preseason projection of what the Final Four tournament would look like.
There were 15 and 18.
Well, needless to say, that bracket was also wrong. So, yeah. If you have Georgetown in your Final Four, you're probably in trouble.
Dale. If you could just bag with the previous conversation, or at least cut out half of it.
The one thing that was true, though, is I still have not had all Final Four teams in 20 years. That was not incorrect.
Well,
and you're starting to see why.
If you're putting in teams that aren't even in the tournament, that might be an indication as to the road you're headed on.
You are starting to see why.
My goodness. A low moment for the show. All right. May not be right, but I did have a 100% success rate of picking teams that actually are playing in the tournament.
At least they are there.
Jeff Byers, next half hour from New York. To talk about the NCAA wrestling championships. Now, you're excited about that, right?
I am excited about that, yes.
All right, let's get to this day in sports history first of all. Van Johnson, after presiding over a meeting of baseball owners in 1900 on this date, announced that the new American League would begin play in April. The teams, Buffalo, Chicago, Cleveland, Detroit, Indianapolis, Kansas City, Milwaukee, and Minneapolis. In 1964, Paul Hornung and Alex Karras were reinstated to the NFL after an 11-month suspension for betting on football games. They each admit they betted on their they wagered on their own teams. Behind the scenes, Vince Lombardi worked very hard to make this happen. In 1991, the U.S. won all three medals at the World Figure Skating Championships. Christy Yamaguchi won the gold. Nancy Kerrigan took the bronze. Tanya Harding took the silver. In 1996, Mike Tyson won the World Boxing Council Heavyweight Championship. with a technical knockout of Frank Bruno in the third round.
In your opinion, speaking of boxing, in your opinion, did Mike Tyson hit boxing, pardon the pun, at the perfect time? Because the heavyweight division, I mean, think about the people he beat to get where he was. There weren't a lot of big names there, were there?
Nope. Really weren't.
I mean, was that just perfect timing on his part? I'm not saying he wasn't talented. I don't mean that.
I mean, believe me, he hit hard. Yeah, you're going to love this, by the way.
Okay.
Here's another little nugget for you. I already gave you the court thing, right?
Yes.
Now, here's a nugget for you. Saturday, NCAA Wrestling Championship. They're going to be at the finals. You have to weigh in. Guess how they're weighing in? You'll love this. Little fun fact.
How are they weighing in?
Yep.
I'd on a scale.
Yes, but what scale? They will be using the scales to weigh them in for Saturday, for the finals only, on the same scales used by Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali for their first fight.
Oh, now that's cool. Yeah. That's cool.
See, I have all sorts of fun facts today.
Is Georgetown in the NCAA wrestling tournament?
Oh, no. They're barely on your football schedule.
They are on the football schedule.
See, fun fact. See, you want to know why? Because I'm a fun guy. What are you rolling your eyes for?
I do like that. That is cool, though. And if ESPN, I'm assuming ESPN has coverage of the final again.
They do.
See, if they don't mention that or show that, then they really missed an opportunity there.
I mean, they'll probably get. They'll get a record audience for it. I would think they'll crack 700,000 viewers this time. Which will be great for it. Now, is it the kind of thing that leads to, hey, let's carry some regular season wrestling? Oh, no. No, not really. No. You'd have to lose a lot of properties before you get to that.
You know, I noticed one thing about the college, and this is going back to last weekend during the PIAA Wrestling Championships. I know they have time constraints in Hershey, so that they have to do all the place medal winners at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But I notice in the NCAAs, they really don't have that issue. When the finals roll around, it's first and second. There's no other matches going on anywhere else around there.
Right.
And
right.
I realize that the PIAA have to do that because they're doing a double A and then they're doing triple A in the evening. So time constraints force them to have multiple mats down there. And I think they went with four the last couple of years for the finals. That's unfortunate to me because it really draws your attention away from the championship match or draws your attention away from a good place match because you want to watch the championship match. That's unfortunate. That's how it has to be that way.
But that's how the Big Tens are done. Same way.
Do they do that? Wait, see, I don't like that. I think if you're in the championship match, you should be the focus.
Nothing in sports makes you happy.
No.
Nothing. Yeah, I don't care whether it's two teams played each other in October, now they're in the Super Bowl, you hate that. There's no purity in baseball, and you don't face each other till the World Series. And Michael Phelps swimming through dirty water in Rio de Janeiro.
Has Interleague Baseball added anything to Major League Baseball?
Fighting his way through sticks and debris.
I'm not even going there.
Has it added anything? Yeah, of course it's added something. My goodness, you can go down to Philadelphia, and you're getting, David Ortiz has played in Philadelphia. You're not going to get a chance to see him play in person.
That's true.
And suddenly out of nowhere, you get a chance if you are a, a Cleveland Indians fan. Clayton Kershaw is going to pitch tonight in Cleveland. When was the opportunity ever to have that before? I mean, let's face it. I mean, you look at all the greats. I mean, Willie Mays never played, except for one All-Star game. Willie Mays never played it. He only played one game ever in his life in Fenway Park. One.
Why do you think that Major League Baseball, though, has not made the decision to just go with the DH in all interleague games just because an American League team playing in a National League ballpark is at a disadvantage?
Why haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, there's no advantage if both teams are using the DH. None.
I have no idea. You know what? You can get yourself so rooted in tradition that you end up getting stuck in mud. There are certain traditions that are great. All right, let's take college football, for example. You know, the floating lion done by the Blue Band, they've done the exact same pregame routine, I think, every year since, 1972. People expect that. You dot the I on Script Ohio all the time. Those are fun traditions. You guard the lion on homecoming weekend. Those are just fun traditions. But in terms of your ability to make the game better, you have to constantly work at making the game better, making it entertaining, making it something that people want to come out and see. Getting rooted in tradition sometimes, well, this is the way we've always done it. Really? Well, guess what? People today are looking at it going, okay, fine. You know, it was great at being rooted in tradition in the 1940s, but then again, attendance at those games was usually for the season below a million. Now you got TV, everybody's on TV, you have other options. You did not have options in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. You did not have options. In terms of the NBA was not a big deal. The NHL ended early. The NFL was just starting to hit some stride and some gear. Golf was, okay, fine. Horse racing was starting to fade. Boxing went to closed circuit pay-per-view. Well, now guess what? You're Major League Baseball. You've got nothing but competition now. You only have from about June 24th until about August 6th, where you've got the whole thing to yourself. That's all you've got. Because you're already behind the NBA Finals. You're already, the Stanley Cup Finals, not so much, but the NBA Finals, you're already being crushed by them. Nobody's really, they're sort of watching you, but they aren't. And then the NFL preseason starts, and you go into your disappearing act again. So you got to make the game a little more fun, a little more entertaining, a little more something. Now batting, Pedro Martinez. This will be fun. And I always love there's just so much strategy in the National League. Gee, there's a runner at first. Do you think Pedro's going to bunt? Everybody? Pedro? I think Pedro's going to bunt here. Oh, yeah, that's strategy. Oh, yeah. Oh. I'm sitting up here in row 12. Even I know he's going to bunt because there's a runner at first with one out. I got it. Ooh, that's strategy. Oh, the wheels are turning. You want some strategy? Maybe the ninth place hitter will bunt. Maybe the ninth place hitter will hit and run. Maybe the guy in first base will steal. Not going to steal with the pitcher up there. And you're not going to hit and run, I can tell you that. But there's just so much more strategy. Oh. What, because you might pinch hit for the pitcher in the fifth or sixth inning? And then change the batting order by... Oh, great. Now I'm going to put this guy here, and then we're going to do a double switch. Hey, great. Okay, fine. Guess what? Babe Ruth baseball, we did double switches. Not that complicated. Let's not pretend somebody split the atom by doing a double switch. I always love that. Oh, yeah. Ooh, the wheels are turning. Oh, goodness sakes. Pitcher comes to the plate. Here comes Garrett Cole. Runner on first, nobody out. Quick show of hands. How many think he's bunting?
Listen, I can tell you right now, as soon as he came out of the on-deck circle, the third baseman started creeping up. He didn't even get in the batter's box yet, and the third baseman's already at the pitcher's mound.
It's a tired argument. It's tired. Okay? I don't want to watch him hit. I want to watch him pitch. I go to the game. I want to see Garrett Cole out there for 7 or 8 innings. I don't want him yanked for a pinch hitter in the fifth inning. Oh, that was a lot of fun.
I also want to see Major League Baseball make one more change. And I want the, well, all right, besides the clock. I think the clock is a good idea, and I know they experimented with it, and everybody seemed to like it, but nothing's gone with it. I want to see that happen. But in addition, I think you should only be allowed to have a set number of infielders on each side of the infield. I am tired of seeing this ridiculous shift, and it's not a Howard thing. I've seen it done with other players. I think it's dumb.
Tom Verducci feels the way you do. Tom Verducci feels the way you do. There is an argument to be made for it on both sides. The argument is, hey, look, you know, it's up to you to hit, you know, the great sure. Kevin line. Tell Ryan Howard to hit it the other way.
Just hit it where the guys are.
Brilliant move. But there's also an argument, too, that, for example, there are rules in other sports about where you can be. For example, in soccer and in hockey, you have offsides. In basketball, you only have in the NBA 8 seconds, in college 10 seconds to bring your ball over, and you can't go back. Okay, there's no backcourt, so you know that cuts that part off. In the NFL, certain guys can't move. X amount of guys can only go out in a pattern and catch the ball, and so forth. So there's arguments in other sports that you can set up alignments based on barriers, and that barrier would be second base as to what you're talking about. You have to have X amount of fielders on one side versus the other.
Believe me, I've screamed through the TV for years, just hit it where they ain't, and that solves the problem of putting the shift on. I just think the shift is ridiculous, and it's not what baseball's supposed to be. And here's the other thing. If you're on second base and the third baseman is playing shortstop, why in the world have you not taken third?
Well, that happened in the World Series with Johnny Damon against the Phillies.
Right.
And he took third. So. Once again, the angry ramblings of a man from Danville.
Georgetown would do that.
I want you to remember these words and remember them forever. 15-18. Georgetown's record. In fact, John Thompson III joining you at your house for a big party this weekend because he's not playing on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Patrick Ewing, Sleepy Floyd, no longer on the Georgetown team.
Well, if they were on the team, I bet they'd be in the tournament.
They're on the senior circuit right now. Let's see. Andy on Facebook asked a question about Luis Heredia in the Pirates system and where he is now. Andy, I will answer that question for you, of course. First of all, thanks for the question on Facebook. Luis Heredia started his career here in State College after a $2.6 million signing bonus and probably actually had his best year here. ERA was under 3. Fastball was never overwhelming, but pretty good command and would pitch to contact and would get you to fly out, ground out. Had good movement on the ball. He eventually got to high A last year in the Pirates system and then pitched some in the Mexican League. The problem he's had is that he was really hit pretty hard last year in Bradenton. Again, he does not have what you'd call a plus fastball. And the Pirates only signed him when he was 17 years old. He's only 21 right now. The Pirates included him, his name, and floated his name in a series of trades, two in particular, and neither one ended up coming to fruition. So he's still with the Pirates organization. I expect Luis Heredia to either start the year in high A, or the possibility is open to make it a make-or-break year for him and have him start the year in double-A Altoona. So, Andy, thank you for the question on Facebook. Hope that answered it for him. 800-795-9565. If you'd like Kevin's final four predictions, revised edition, you can do so by giving us a call right now.
I'll even give you my final four for next year.
Well, you do it in football, so when it comes to the playoffs, the only guy I knew that had the doggone playoff thing, it's week four. Here's how it's shaping up. What about the other six games?
Always prepared. If the season were to end today, here's where they'd stand.
By the way, Brent Wilkerson, I think most people do know by now, has been suspended indefinitely. A charge of indecent assault. His preliminary hearing is set for April 6th. He has been suspended indefinitely from the Nittany Lion football team. So what does that do for the tight end spot? Mike Gesicki's there. A prospect I really like, and Nick Bowers is there. I like him a lot. Holland is there, and tall, not quite built the same as some tight ends, got a little leaner. And then they've got Danny Dalton, the true freshman from Marshfield, Massachusetts. Those would be the four guys that would step up a tight end. And Tom Pankos would be the fifth one. So that's where that is right now. Okay, Jeff Byers from New York next on the NCAA Wrestling Championships as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.